This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I like city of angels. Try to chain us down, but society can't tame us. Granny told me gotta be safe, but we stay dangerous. You also bought a book and we already burnt the pages. Who you really gonna call when it all get crazy? Who you throwing the ball for that new Mercedes? How you gonna risk it all and do a 180? How you gonna catch that Hail Mary pass me face? You can keep that hate in the backseat while these rappers running in place so they never catch me. Running for the sprint, but this money be everlasting. And except they capping, they calling me IMF. 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 IMF.
IMF. Hey, one thing that we don't always do, y'all, is check in on one another, right? So I want to do a little check in on us. So from a mental fitness standpoint, from business, personal, how we feeling? Where we at? It's a lot going on. We just came off of a crazy pandemic, right? A shutdown that changed a lot of what we know. We've had a lot of things going on with George Floyd, and just the awareness from the public. I think it wasn't new for us, but it was new to some people, unfortunately. But I want to check in on us, man, as black men, as leaders, as fathers, as husbands, as just men in general. This is something that we don't always do. So I want to take the time to make sure we check in. So I want to know how you guys are feeling.
I'm okay, man. I think that physically I'm good. I'm healthy, right? My body's right. I'm able to do what I want to do. Mentally, I'm good, right? I have a strong support system. I'm very in tune with my family. I'm good with my friends, right? I have a relationship with God. So, you know, from that perspective, I'm pretty sound. You know what I mean? I think I've done the work to make sure mentally and physically I'm in a good place. You know what I mean? You know, as far as like my love life is good, you know what I mean? I can't complain too much about that. Working through the kinks and the nuances, the same as all you guys, you know, every day is a challenge, but we just continue to just work through it. You know, as far as business, man, business is good, but business could be better. You know, business is good, but business could always be better. So I'm still trying to figure out, navigate through the whole entrepreneur space and, you know, just tap into my purpose. You know what I mean? There's a lot of moving parts. I'm interested in a lot of things. So, you know, being able to just like focus on, you know, one goal is kind of my biggest struggle, but it's coming along. It's coming along. So I would say overall, man, I'm like a 9. Yeah. I'm good, man. I'm good.
Across the board.
Yeah.
That's what's up. I don't know what I am, really, to tell you the truth. Some days I'm up, some days I'm, you know, I think for me, I just lost myself in being just a dad, you know. I think I haven't had time to just reflect on myself, you know. Right now, you know, I'm just full dad mode, you know. And my, you know, fiance, she's going to school now for like doctor and stuff. So now I gotta watch the kids and babysit every day. That's why I give them so much credit, because it's hard, bro. It's hard. I got my 2-year-old, he's potty trained, but he likes to steal boo-boo on himself, and he go get the diaper and bring it to me like, you know what I just did? And I'm like, dog, you tripping. But then I got my 10-year-old that's just, you know, that's cool, that help out. But for me, just trying to figure out what I'm going to do next, what I'm going to do. Like, besides my clothing line, I got that I've been doing for over 8 years, 7 years, so. But it's trying to figure out, like, I'm glad I'm here. You know, I'm glad I'm here talking and I'm doing this because this is something I need. You know, I needed to get out the house and have something to do because doing my clothing, I'm still in the house. I'm still just looking up stuff, just the next drop. I'm not really going nowhere. You know, I'm still in the house. So I'm glad I'm being able to get out the house and just be around people.
Does being out of basketball and not having that structure of a professional organization, does that affect your mental?
Yeah, at first it did. I felt like I was ready at the time, but once it really hit me, I don't know if I was.
Yeah.
And I still was struggling with, like, I'm trying to make it come back. People whispering, you should be playing. Then you got the other people, you know, what you gonna do now? So it's a lot that was just going, you know, in my mind mentally, you know. You know, and then you got your kids like, Dad, why you don't play basketball no more and all that. So, and I felt like, you know, I wasn't ready to just say, like, I felt like they kicked me out before I was ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So put it on a number on the scale.
I'm probably, you know, my kids make me happy, so I could say 8 or 9.
Okay.
Is it babysitting if it's your own kids, though?
Yes.
It's not a baby. It's not
no, I'm just
it's
saying.
Like when your
I'm
wife just, leaves, like, daddy's
hey,
babysitting.
I feel like it's babysitting. I ain't gonna hold you.
It's your own
I'm
kids.
Babysitting 3 kids by myself.
They're yours, though. That's not babysitting.
Nah, that's why I give women credit, because they do it so easy. They do it easy. I don't, that's a tough job. Like, we don't give them credit that they deserve. Like, that's a tough job to me.
That's
like,
definitely a tough
it's
job.
It's tough. Like, because they all want you to play with them. You got to play with them differently. It's crazy. You got to cook. You got to make sure they dress. When you want to go somewhere, you got to get them all dressed to go with you. Like, I'm really in full. Yeah. Like, I enjoy it, though. That's the fun part. They keep me distracted.
Yeah.
I think for me, mentally, when I first got out the league, it wasn't what I thought. You know, I start seeing a lot of people's true colors. You know, people that I thought loved me, people that I thought really cared. So I had to get mentally right first. And I had to, you know, look myself in the mirror and understood, like, what I created and around people around me, like my family, my friends, what I made comfortable and things like that. So I had to start loving myself first. And then I started my business, Tough Crowd, and that gave me some more like motivation, more confidence. You know, then I started, you know, being able to dress certain people like Chris Brown, Kevin Durant, Giannis, you know, just players on down. So that brought me happiness. And then I was able to find my girl.
Hello.
You know, so my girl, you know, she got me into like,
Speak on that. Right. Yeah.
Man, find a wife.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Right. Find something good.
Then, you find a wife, girl, you find something good.
Finds a good thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then my girl, she, you know, she just turned the table for me. You know, got me spiritual, got me to crystals, saging, you know, start forgiving myself.
Yeah.
So I can just find my purpose. So, you know, we work together with Tough Crowd, and it's been amazing. You know, it's ups and downs and stuff like that, but everybody does. So.
Yeah.
But where I'm at right now in my life, I mean, I'm happy. Like, I could be playing, I could be making 30, 40 million, but it's like, if I had all that with no guidance, like, who would I be? Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Who would I be as a man? Like, I would just be, you know, all over the place. So, you know.
Oh, no, bro. 40 million.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I turned down 30 million. I'm so happy. Nigga dying inside. Ooh, baby. What's wrong with me? Why the hell I'm turning money down? I'm tripping in my. Oh.
Yeah, but we need to make sure everything is like right in our lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, we can get everything we want, but if you ain't right, then what?
No, you definitely.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Then what? You're going to blow it faster.
Hey,
like,
fast.
Than ever. So, you know what I'm saying? You got to find your purpose. Stay
close to
God. Nobody
spend more money than somebody unhappy.
Yeah. So, right now, I'm happy. I'm just happy, and I give myself a 9. Just for
well, if you're happy, you should be at a 10.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's really at a 10. Nobody's really at a 10.
Why am I not? I'm at a 10.
You just said you was at an 8.
Nobody's at a 10. It's too much.
Miserable. I'm at a 10.
Yeah, yeah.
He changed his number now.
He said, I see y'all.
Nobody's at a 10.
Unhappy. Nobody's at a 10.
He said, now I heard y'all, I'm a 10.
But happy, I turned down 50 million, I'm the happiest.
Not 50, but come on, let's be honest.
Listen, man, you know, I mean, my woman, that's miserable too. I mean, your woman gets you fucked up too.
I mean, we've seen a lot.
lose it all now.
So you saying your woman make you happy every day?
So
if you say that,
don't get it twisted. Now, a lot of them had a lot of money now. Don't do that.
What you mean, fold?
Come on, don't do that. We can go through
money.
That.
That's cool.
No, it's not. Hey, no, it's man. Not. You better have the right team
what's
behind
folding?
You.
No, yeah, what's folding?
I mean, what's folding is like losing yourself, like thinking you're bigger than everybody else. Like that's losing yourself. Like everybody's human. Like be humble. Like don't care how much money you got. Like you ain't better than nobody. Like that's losing yourself.
Like
you know
what
I'm saying? Like not appreciating what God gives you in life. I'm telling you, people lose it fast.
You know, people do lose it fast. I think
I lose it fast.
Well, also I think it's like I don't want to be like Martin Luther King says, like just like. Death of the spirit. And I think that's really hard to like rebirth yourself. Like, you know, and I think retirement or retiring from anything, it's like mourning. You're mourning the loss of who you used to be. And like, that's really hard to do for a lot of people because it's like, you want everything that come with who you used to be, but where you going, it's like, maybe you don't need that old person. And I think all of us are, you know, figuring out where we want to be and what our true purpose is. I think in the grand scheme of it all, it's like, God gives everybody a gift and you try to figure out how to use your gift in the world. And when you're working for somebody else, technically the talent that you're using to, you know, do what they want you to do, that's not really your gift. Your gift is when you can find that purpose and you feel good every single day. And I think, like you're saying, it's just like, you know, the money doesn't technically figure that out. You know, money doesn't technically give you that, you know.
It'll show you all type of stuff.
Yeah, it'll show you the worst sides of you, and it can show you something. It can do great things for you, but, you know, the material doesn't cover the spirit. And I think that's kind of where we all are trying to figure out. And I think even last year, you think about, you know, COVID, it was like you was in this wabi-sabi moment, and like you never ever get to be still in life. And like sometimes when you're still, you get to be present. And I think all of us in that time last year, we got to be present and be still in our thoughts and kind of figure out what is it that I really want to do? And I think for me personally, retiring during COVID was like the best thing ever because I didn't have the pressure. Even though teams were calling me to come play, I still didn't have that pressure. And I kind of felt like last year when I retired, I was like, dang, I really kind of accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. And I could walk away and feel like I could keep playing or I could just walk away and feel like, damn, I'm feeling healthy. I got this other part, you know. Nobody wants to give their significant other a broken person. Like, how far do we go before, you know, something that we love becomes selfish? Like, when you're playing in the league, you almost feel like you're giving, like, I'm out there doing everything in a way. I'm giving this to the – but really, you kind of subtracting from the whole man of who you could be if you come back and you really can't really be the person that you're supposed to be because you're so caught up in what it once was. And for me, I just kind of – like, I went back to school to start studying architecture. To become an architect. And it's like, I just wanted to do something that was challenging, you know, something that could really push me forward. And I think with football, with any sport, what it is, it's like we're challenged physically and mentally. And like, and sometimes like we can still be challenged physically, but finding a way to be challenged mentally is really the hardest thing for us to do. And so all of us are trying to figure out business and do that. And that's kind of where I've been. So, and then just getting to know your family again, that's kind of like the hardest, like, you know, like being like halfway in and halfway out. That's what you are like. You're like, I'm a daddy for like 3 days and I'm in the NFL. Then it's like, I'm a daddy for 3 days. I'm a husband. Then it's like, then you back. And it's like, now I'm like, damn, I'm in the house every day. Like, and you really start to appreciate everything that your wife do. Like, you know, you used to be like, man, really? That's really? You couldn't do all that. You couldn't fold the clothes, you know, drop the kids off, make the food, handle some business, do everything, and then have time to sex me? You lazy, you know? But then you come back and be like, nah, that's a lot of work. And then helping in the house, that's been like, one of the greatest things to see your wife, you know, to really see all the stuff that they're doing outside of it and then also
There to help. Don't complain about it, too. They're like, damn, you can't support me. I've been doing this forever.
So, Michael, look, I mean,
back to this. I want to get back to this.
Yeah, go ahead.
He said he always happy with his woman. So y'all always happy every day?
Just because I'm not happy every day don't mean she's the cause of my unhappiness.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course, I have my moments where I'm not happy, but I'm happy in my relationship every day for sure.
Everybody should be happy in their relationship.
So what you saying?
You acting like y'all don't have no bad moments.
I'm not saying that, bro. I said we have up and down.
But a bad moment don't mean
but that just means.
I'm just saying. I'm happy every day with my woman. Like, me always happy.
That's just normal, though.
Well, he's supposed to come on TV and say he's not happy.
Come on,
woman.
Bro.
Like,
what you talking about right
now,
bro?
Even what you saying
right now, bro? Like, no, I'm just saying, like, they don't want
it. We've been Why do I have that day?
You argue in a relationship.
Nah, bro. I'm still happy, though.
You got to keep it real. Like, baby, me and my woman happy every goddamn day. Like,
when we argue, it don't make me say, damn, I wish I wasn't with her. Nah, I don't have those moments, bro. You messing with your woman 16 years. I'm just saying.
It's different. No, it's not. If you argue, you argue. I'm not about to make my relationship be perfect. Like,
because you argue don't mean you're not happy, though.
I'm not saying you're not happy. But
what are you saying, bro?
So you argue happy. If you, I'm arguing with you happy. Yeah.
But Nick, let's say
arguing happy. Everything I do with you is happy.
Minutes, but Nick, is it her responsibility to make him happy, or is it his responsibility?
No, I'm just saying.
Because you're putting a lot of pressure on her.
Relationships is up and down.
But yo, I want to ask you though, how you feeling, bro? How you feel? What's where you at?
I'm a 7. Right. So if I put a number on it, I'm a 7. Wow. I'm not. I can't go all the way to the 9. I think I'm happy, but I'm never satisfied. And I think the challenge with being an entrepreneur is there's constant transition. And the transitions create the discomfort. And we get used to the discomfort through athletics. We get used to it through, you know, life in general. But that also creates a sense of vulnerability. And I think the thing about being an entrepreneur is, like, you're always vulnerable. You know, you're always putting it out on the line of how you can take care of your family, how you can do these things, right? And then you're battling the realization that you have so much confidence and potential, but your ability to realize it becomes difficult.
It's a creative nakedness.
Yeah, it's a creative nakedness, right? You know, it's like Erykah Badu. She's like, I'm sensitive about my Like, I'm going to keep it all the way real. So it's... I'm a 7 right now because I got a lot of stuff that's transitioning.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point that I'm really interested in with you guys, because you guys are doing an ultimate transition, right? You guys have gone from the league, right, in these professional sports, which is this epitome, right, this top of a pyramid, but at the same time, it's so early in your life, right? It's happening. You're, you know, in some folks' mind, you're peaking so soon.
Yeah,
and it's not actually your peak.
But I feel like, for example, you was a first round pick. What round were you in?
First round pick.
See, I feel like I'm like Rick Ross. Like, I'm nobody's favorite. So I'm like, I was undrafted. So it's like, I never really felt like I was wanted. So it's kind of like, that's how I treated the league. I never felt like it was so important. I just feel like I love football. I love the history of football. I love what it could do. But I never fell in love with like the opinions of the masses, because I wasn't drafted. When I wasn't drafted, that hurt. And I was like, man, I never want to have something that I don't have control over, control my feelings.
Right.
And so ever since then, I was just like,
feelings into it like
yeah,
that.
Like it did. Like when I was playing with the Cowboys and I kind of told the defense, like, look, this is my last game. You know, like I did shed a tear. I shed a couple because I understood that like I was walking away from something that I was really passionate about, and I still had this. I could still play, but at the same time, I knew that the league was changing. I just felt like it was time for me to try to do something else. It's like after 12 years, it's kind of like, damn, like, so it's kind of like that. So I can understand like when you that nakedness of being raw, that vulnerability of sharing your emotions and growing in so many different ways, that is difficult. So
yeah, I think my process was like, my journey was different than a lot of people's. I didn't grow up wanting to play football. You know, I didn't grow up having dreams of playing the NFL. I know a lot of people that grow up and they play Pop Warner and play high school and play college, and their whole dream is to go to the NFL. Mine, really, football for me just kind of happened, right? I just always cared about being good at whatever I did, you know? And if someone convinced me to play football when I was in high school, and I was like, okay, cool. I can get to college for free. And I got to college, and I was good in college. And I got to NFL. I was undrafted, right? So I wasn't highly touted in anything. Just like you, I was undrafted. And my intention was never set to, yo, I'm married to the sport, right? I love football, breathe football. I was never that guy. So my relationship with football was always, this is temporary. You know what I mean?
Well, do you feel like because you didn't marry that way, do you feel like if you would have married that way, would you have had more success?
Absolutely. I think it's an extreme, right? I think people that are head over heels for football are good players, right? And I think that for me, it was just my demeanor, my relationship with the sport was never like, this is everything, right? Partly because I feel like I got more to offer,
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? So like I grew up artistic, you know, playing basketball, right? Doing it in a Nigerian household. So my parents were really on me about school, right? Yeah. So like my intention, my focus was never football. I just cared about being good. So anytime that I was on a public platform, I didn't want people talking shit about me, right? So that was like my motivation, you know? And then when I got to the NFL, it was just like, I'm undrafted free agent. And I always knew that it's going to come to an end. So I never put all my eggs in that basket, right? So yeah. When it was time to be done with football, my transition was a little smoother than a lot of other people's transition because I was already kind of cultivating, you know, my process.
Nah, see, I feel like that's kind of cool for me, it was opposite. Like, I grew up like, I want to be like Chad Johnson. Yeah. I want to play like Brandon Marshall. I want to be like Alan Page, Ray Lewis, you know, Derrick Brooks, John Lynch, like Warren Sapp. Like, just like I Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I grew up in the yard, like wanting to be those guys. I mean, I couldn't catch as good as Chad or Brandon. Actually, I could catch, but at the same time, like being like playing football was like it was something about watching football and watching those people in those days that made it. Like, I used to watch Lawrence Taylor, like John Abraham, and just be like, wow, this is just amazing. DeMarcus Ware, the artistry of the skill level to compete. I remember, you know, Chad would be running and it'd be two people and he'll come through and like the eye concentration to me, or Brandon would catch a slant, even though I never watching him catch slants.
You know, that's what you want to do all your life.
But yeah, you know that's what I mean? True. It's not like it was like what I want to do in my life, but I respected the dedication that they put in so much that when I got to the level, even though I was undrafted, I felt like I want to put that type of work in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember going and I used to see Chad didn't work out in Miami, or I used to go to Chicago. My brother was playing for the Bears. Him and Brandon played together, and just watching them train. I used to watch Matt Forte train and be like, damn, if I'm not training at that level, then I'm never going to be able to compete.
Yeah, I never had that.
Yeah.
Did you guys always believe in yourself?
Always. Yeah, since day one.
Always.
Day one?
Always knew.
I didn't play until my junior year in high school.
Play basketball. Say it again.
I didn't play until my junior year in high school. Man, that's all for
you. Ain't play on the street, nothing.
Yeah, I played in the park.
You ain't playing the jungle.
I wasn't like I played in the park and I did everything, like the last second shots, like game winner, try to beat Kobe and all that. But like, I didn't, like, school wise, that just wasn't me. Like, I didn't do good in school at all. So like, I wasn't even going to school until my friend was dribbling a basketball and somebody seen him and say, do y'all want to play on my traveling team? You got any friends? And he brought me to the thing.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
You kind of fucked me up.
But like, so you playing like that, I mean, did you have the confidence then when you started playing your junior year?
Always have the confidence.
Because the reason I'm asking it is because you guys are playing in such a high pressure environment, right? Which requires a lot of, you got a lot of eyes. Now the same thing starts to happen, right, as us as entrepreneurs. So let me say it a different way, right? The pressure that I feel is not external. It's my own expectation of myself. That I feel that I'm inherently great, but right, and excellent. So
I'll be honest, battling that. I didn't believe in myself when I first got in the NFL. I actually didn't believe in myself. Like, I got undrafted. I didn't
even undrafted.
It was Rondé Barber really that, like, Rondé Barber was like the person that told me, he's like, Mike, like, I don't know what you think you're seeing, but like, you could actually be great. And like, Albert Haynesworth put me to the side. He was like, Mike, if you do this, you do this, that. And everybody had such a bad rep about Albert Haynesworth because I was looking at Albert Haynesworth coming in and being like, okay, that's Albert Haynesworth. Like, I seen what he did with Tennessee Titans, how he could play the league. And he telling me I could play. Corey Redding could tell me I could play. And then the belief of those defensive stalwart for people that I had respect for started telling me, I was like, damn, maybe I can play. And then that's how I really got into playing good football.
Yeah, that's dope. I don't know how you seen the end before. Like, I never thought about the end at all while I was playing.
Yeah, me neither.
I never thought about, damn, this ain't going to work out in 10 years. Like, I just played basketball until it was over, really.
See, the thing that always messed me up is, you know, I went to West Point, so it was different, right? When I was going through the high school process of picking colleges and all that, it was the pressure of trying to figure out how I can put my family in a different light, right? So it was... I'll tell you what I struggled with was going to, like, you know, Big Ten schools and the Northwesterns and some of those things that I had offers from in the West Point. And I was talking to folks, and the thing that made me go to West Point, and this messes a lot of people up because, you know, not everybody that goes to West Point and serves in the military is like gung-ho about service.
Yeah.
And it was more about the fact that, man, we didn't know a lot of people that came from there. And so it put, you know, I looked at political, you know, power, and there were presidents that went there, right? There were CEOs that went there. So I was trying to put myself in that light, right? Because it was a hedge. And if I really sit back on it, I wasn't confident in the fact that I was going to make it all the way through. So I was hedging my bet.
Yeah.
And so you guys made some of the real extreme bets on yourself. And I'm just wondering where that confidence comes from, like
I think that for me at least, it was never about, even if I never did it before, I believe that you can learn how to do anything with enough practice, right? So even if I was undrafted, so maybe the confidence wasn't like I'm a pro bowler, but it was, yo, if I just practice, you know what I mean? I think I could be good. Because I think that's the same thing with anything, right? There's a lot of skills that I don't know right now, but I really believe if you practice and put the work in, you'll be great. So it all comes down to, well, for me at least, it all came down to my work ethic, right? And I believe in my work ethic. So that's what I was confident in.
I think for me, it was the commitment to that I could get injured. I think, like, the first time you get in the NFL, like, or any league, it's like you're scared to get hurt. Like, I'm not going to do a Euro step because I might tear my knee up. Or I'm not going to take this man and throw him and then knock another one out and go make a play. But, like, once you kind of, like commit to, like, I could possibly get injured, I think a lot of times your game go up. And I think those people that, like, I looked at some of the stuff like Lawrence Taylor was doing, like, it was like really kind of insane, you know what I mean? Yeah. But at the same time, it's like his commitment at that level to play in the NFL, you have to be some kind of crazy a little bit. I mean, sometimes it goes off the field, obviously, like that craziness to commit to the possibility of getting injured is something that a lot of people aren't willing to do.
Mm-hmm. I think for me was my mom. I think just growing up in a single parent mother home and just seeing the sacrifices that she was trying to do to make, you know, a better life for me and my brother. So that just gave me a lot of hunger and just a lot of like, you know, like, well, my mom can do it and try to figure it out, or at least try. You know, I at least got to go hard at this every day. So that's why it was easy for me to transform into like having my own business, because I just believe in putting in like 110% in anything I do.
Confidence comes from the work.
Yeah.
Confidence comes from the work.
Yeah.
To be honest, I wanted to run out here like as soon as you guys started talking about stillness and believing in yourself. Like,
okay.
That was an awesome conversation. But this is some barbecue shrimp po' boys. It's a little like spicy and sweet, but.
Louisiana things out because it's like I have to.
New Orleans is like my favorite
on
city.
On the Louisiana schedule, and I don't want to do that.
I kept laughing in the background.
She's setting the bar real high for herself.
Yeah, it's like you start saying things that I've been eating since I was.
But Chef Alex, like, yeah. So we having a good conversation about confidence, right, and the pressure.
Yeah.
So for you, you didn't go to culinary school.
I didn't.
Right. You didn't do all that. So how do you feel about, you know, you entering the world and you've been coming out here with some meals that. You know, my lady is Jamaican. You brought out oxtail. My parents live in New Orleans. You out here with po' boys.
Listen, because
I'm judging. Where? How you feel? Where's your confidence coming from?
I mean, listen, like, you did a check-in. I'm at a good 7, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I left my job 3 months ago.
Yep, Sheva, I love it. And what I love about your cooking, though, is
you
are... I have a passion of being a cook, right? And being a chef. So when all this entrepreneurship is done, this is what I want to do. And I love the fact that you bring that sense of home into it.
Well, that's...
You bring that real love into it.
I'm not confident.
I don't need all that fancy stuff. So if you're not confident, I want to get that 7 to a 10. Because you've been hitting on these meals.
I appreciate that.
You've been hitting on these meals.
I feel like everyone... Well...
These meals
deal with imposter syndrome, because I deal with imposter syndrome.
I know what imposter syndrome is, but I want America to know.
Okay.
Oh, Nick is over here sweating.
It's chipotle peppers.
Hold on.
Chipotle. Y'all can't stand spicy.
Hey, can we get a towel for Nick? Can we get a towel for Nick? Because he didn't. We need a real cold towel. This is a different show.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's sweating immediately.
Wait, that's spicy. that was for the oxtail comment. But it's all good.
Did you? This is hella hot though. But,
it's hot.
But
it's hot.
Good.
Okay. Well, now I understand. Y'all can't stand the heat.
But imposter syndrome.
Okay, so imposter syndrome is when it's like you're almost like faking it to make it.
This is the greatest whole scene. This never happened.
Hold on, bro.
Hey, hold on,
it
bro.
Happened.
You
gotta
explain what imposter syndrome is.
Do you have imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome? Like, I'm an imposter?
Like, it's like, do you struggle with, like, insecurity? Or?
Hell no. Who struggles with I'm talking about this hot ass food. How do I get imposter? How do y'all get imposter from this food?
Look, he asked me.
Yeah, I want to know where imposter syndrome
is. Might ask.
I asked it for America.
Oh.
Now, look, imposter syndrome is the pressure to be something that is not naturally you, right? So you're chasing something.
You look at the wrong person, bro. Look at America.
No.
Look at America. Nah, I know what imposter syndrome is, but look at America.
But listen, I think for me, personally, right? So if we go on the entrepreneurship piece, right? You got bootstrap entrepreneurs. You have... venture capital backed entrepreneurs. You have all these folks that are going off and chasing businesses, but what are the things that we see, right? We see the guy or the woman that has raised all this money, right? And we start to chase that. And the thing is, we don't always know that person is making money.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes with social media, we can chase the fame, right? And the attention, but that's not actually what's providing the wealth and taking care of families. Cause the line is blurry. Now within social media, we don't know what is real. And so the imposter syndrome sometimes is chasing the fake.
Yeah.
Right. And not what's real. Yeah.
Like you're chasing a pretty image.
Bullshit.
And no one knows.
You're chasing bullshit.
Because you can put up a pretty image and then it's like, but how do you feel behind it? Like no one knows that. Like when you said stillness, like for me, like that's how I quit my job. I had a panic attack in January and I was like, oh, I don't feel great. And I was like, I gotta go. So, and chase my dream, so, even though it's spicy.
Listen.
Shout out to you for chasing your dream.
Okay, listen.
Chef Alex, listen. Thank you for chasing your dream. I don't think it's that spicy.
Appreciate you.
But you know, I got a different type of palate than Nick. I don't know what happened over there.
It is spicy, though. I'm going to let you
But it's okay. Thank you. We appreciate it.
We don't give
a
damn.
You want me to take your plate? I'll take this. Because it's a little spicy.
You might want to just get him a salad.
Thank you.
Just get him a Caesar salad or something. I don't know what happened over there.
But you're talking about betting on yourself, but I got to, there's just a norm, but it's just like, as you get past this, how you even deal with vulnerability? I feel like as a man, like, it's really like if you cry in front of your wife or you cry in front of your kids, does that make you weak in some ways, like growing up? But people make you feel like if you shed a tear, if you do anything like that as a man, it's like when you have time to unload, to be emotional at that high level. It's like the only time you ever see athletes cry is when they win a championship. It's like you never hear somebody just being like, I'm just crying because I'm happy, or I'm just happy because I had a new baby. It's like when they get the championship, it's like we put all our we lust that goal so much that when it's not real and we lift it up and we like, this is a heaven. I remember we won a Super Bowl. I remember Coach Carroll came in the next day and he was like, his whole thing is how we made it back to the Super Bowl. It was like, what's next? Because when we held that thing, everybody was like, it's not as heavy as I thought it was. It's like that vulnerability of chasing that and then finding out that it's not real. Like you said, that's almost feels like sometimes chasing the party is it imposter syndrome, because you find out that almost everything that you find, it's like you find out that that Santa Claus isn't real. No offense, American kids who are watching this, Santa Claus isn't real.
Listen, I got a baby at home. Santa Claus is real.
It felt good to win it, but it didn't translate to everything in life. It was like that moment was still there. But beyond that, having the title, and that felt good, but I'm saying like the next day or 10 days later, like it didn't take away everything that you had that was going on.
But why'd you cry?
I didn't cry.
You didn't cry.
I didn't cry. We won a Super Bowl. I didn't cry when we lost the Super Bowl.
So I've cried a lot.
Y'all don't appreciate it.
I ain't gonna hold you. I've cried a bunch of times.
Hey, Mike, Mike, I gotta say.
I'm gonna say, me too.
I gotta say, I'm sorry. F*** you for that Super Bowl. I'm sorry, bro.
Why?
Because y'all whooped us 48-something. Right?
I mean, but it was.
I'm just saying.
That was like the easiest.
I just wanna say.
I'm sorry, Peyton Manning was like the easiest person to study.
They
man. Like, you in the same place
the
every single time.
Just like they whooped us in the Super Bowl. They did us the same way.
Did you cry when you lost?
It was such a blowout.
So
we know
we had.
We don't hear that type of stuff.
Brandon, I know I ain't the only one that cried. So,
yeah.
Look, I've cried a bunch. I have a 9-week old. I ain't never cried that much in the hospital. I mean, I don't know what happened. Seeing 30 hours of labor messed me up, so.
Yeah, no, I feel like once, like you said, like we don't show our emotional side. So I feel like I got real emotional once I started finding myself more, just because of the happiness and, like you said, like finding my purpose. So I'm just happy with like, I cry a lot because I'm happy with what God is showing me and what's coming. You know what I'm saying? Manifesting positivity in the future and, you know what I'm saying, just staying in tune and staying woke to what's like reality. So. You know, like we were talking about having confidence. Yeah, I'm very confident in myself because I know myself. Like I'm as lit as I want to be. And I'm going to stay as lit as I want to be. Like it doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah, we're saying in general, like we're as lit as we want to be.
Well, I'm glad that you're saying that because I just feel like, you know, having emotions as a man, like it's just so important that it's like it's just not like talked about enough. And it's like
what are we talking about on this damn show? We do some crying soft.
You gonna one day I'll see y'all on Instagram crying. Michael's right.
That'd be
the problem though.
How's that the problem? You wanna cry all day?
No, I'm not saying you gotta cry all day.
We go through a lot though as black men.
You made it to the NFL but I didn't want to be there. He said he won a championship but I didn't like the
I appreciate the journey. I appreciate the people that are around me that made it there because that's the most important part. Like the trophy is trophy. It's kind of moves on. But the relationships that I built with my D-line or my teammate, those are the things that matter because it transcends that moment. Yeah, it's forever. Yeah, and that's the thing that I appreciate is that's the appreciation that I had for that is because I know that people went through stuff and we made it.
You don't feel like men should show their emotions?
I ain't never said it. I'm just saying y'all just...
You think men should get better at showing their emotions or be allowed to?
Of course, if they want to, why shouldn't? Why should they feel they can't though? Like, why should you feel you can't? If I feel like I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna cry. If I feel like I'm gonna be happy, I'm gonna be happy. Like, I shouldn't be ashamed of doing something.
Yeah. So Nick, let's talk about then. There's a stigma, right? Public perception that homosexuality in pro sports is not to be tolerated.
If we're gonna go deep on it, right? There's a perception, right? There's a public perception and there's reality. So I want y'all to speak to what's the reality.
Like when you say there's no place in it, who's saying that?
I didn't say that there was no place.
Oh, okay.
I said that there's a perception
that
homosexual, because we've had 16 men come out and say that they are homosexual or bisexual.
But why do they have to come out?
At least they have, right? So you have to ask them that. But I'm saying that they have. So there's only been 16 since the inception of the NFL. So why is that? Because that's where public persona then is speaking to something, and they have a perception.
That's
so you guys are inside of the locker room. What's inside of the locker room?
That's more than how many black GMs or black presidents probably been in the NFL too. Right. But my whole thing too is like, I don't think it's not. I don't find it to be an issue. I think nobody has an issue with it. I think it's for sports too. It's like nobody cares. Like if you play next to me, you a dog. Nobody care about that. Yeah. I think it's more of the fan base and it's the story. Yeah, it's the storyline like behind it. But I don't think people cared about Michael Sam. They just love. He played great football, and I think it's more about the world who kind of controls
and
that.
For the majority, why did all of them come out at the end of their career? Like, and why do they got to come out in general anyway? Like, why they just can't be gay and just
what you
be
mean
playing?
At the end of the career? Michael Sam came out. He just got to the league.
Oh, I'm not talking about. I don't know who that is.
Who's at the end of the career that come out?
For the majority, most people come out when they towards the end of their career.
Hey, the punter just came out, right? Recently?
I don't know.
No, he just had a D tackle from the Raiders.
Wow. Raiders. What year is he? Is he
he's
retired?
No, he's a good player.
Fourth year.
Right, so I don't think people care about it. My thing is, I don't think people care about it the way that people.
I don't think people care about it either. Like,
I don't think people care about it. I think it's more like.
I think people make a big deal about it because they want to know how these supposedly masculine ass men. Supposed to deal with someone who is homosexual, right? I think the world makes a way, way bigger deal with it. But personally, people in the locker room, cats don't care. Can you ball, right? Are you a good teammate? That's what people care about. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter. We don't think when we're in the middle of a play and the ball go up in the air, I think, hey, he ain't going to catch it because he's gay.
Right.
I don't think that. I was just like, yo, he made a good play.
But listen, that's why I asked the question, right? We seen a lot of controversy that was going on with Dwight Howard. Now, that was social media. That was a lot of what was going on in external media. And external ain't in the locker room. So in the locker room, what's the thought? Like, did anybody care? Is that something that is he getting roasted for that? Is that even a topic inside the locker room? Or y'all, roasted? We letting that go?
Is he getting roasted? Yeah.
Inside of the locker room. Roasted. Let's keep it all the way real.
Is he getting roasted? I mean,
because he was getting roasted
for everything, though. If you're getting roasted, that's a good thing. That's like, yo, people fuck with you if you're getting roasted. It's like, yo, we cool with it. We broke that barrier.
But I'm saying, but I don't know if Dwight did. I don't know.
It was a rumor. We don't know what it is.
I don't know what that's about.
To me, I'm just coming to work and I got a job to do. They paying me all this money, man. Let's just do it.
That ain't how it be. Yeah. Like, y'all talking like we just gonna come to work and we ignore everything. We just don't care about in life. We just come do our job.
I just wouldn't care, honestly.
We wouldn't care. We'll talk to him. We'll talk trash about him, but that's just what we do. We don't not like him because of what he did. We gonna joke around because we a team. That's what I'm saying.
We joke around.
If we don't pay it attention, that means we feel some type of way. Like we gonna let it be, you know.
So let's dead it then, right? Because y'all are inside the locker room. The world ain't out. So y'all just let people. You just gave them a glimpse. So the consensus is, it doesn't matter what you are. Come in, do your job. We gonna love you. It's about your performance.
I mean, there's so many conversations. In the locker room. It's like you don't really be having we there for how long? I don't know how long y'all at practice for. Like we practice from like 11 to 1 usually. Like so, guys are really there from nine to one.
You be there from like 8 to 5.
That's it.
Yeah.
11 to 1.
I'm saying like we got to be there at 9.
Yeah.
So you're there from like 9 to 1, but you're practicing.
Michael watching film longer than that.
You're there from 6 to 9.
Oh, like 6 to 9. Minutes.
Well, because you got to think in the NFL is like you go like.
I told you,
it's not working.
My first year in Tampa Bay, I kept going. I was like, damn, Rondae Barber, like. like, because I had so much respect for Rondé, because I'm like, first of all, he's just one of the greatest cornerbacks to ever play. He got 20 touchdowns, 20 interceptions, 20 sacks. Like, not a lot of people done that thing. So watching him play, and I was kind of like, man, Rondé, what you do? I follow Rondé for a while. I said, you do this all, you like massage this. It was like, I mean, you can't go to the NFL without having a massage, stretch, eat. It was like, it was just, his day was elongated and mine was short when I first got in the NFL. I was like, I'm done with it. You know what I'm saying? But then watching him, it kind of made me understood what it's like to be a pro. And I think our days are, it just takes a lot more. Like in the NFL, you got to know like what the defense is doing, because basically you protecting yourself from getting injured when you can figure out what's happening before it's happening. But I do feel like the NBA, it's just a different game. It's just like, not that it's not as physical, because it's not as physical, but it's not as, I don't want to say
it's
that.
It's physical though. I mean, we play it three times a week. Y'all play it one Sunday.
Yeah, but it's not collision though.
One Sunday.
We do collide. Y'all not even on the field that long.
It ain't talking about it's a collision.
Trenches
sport,
are different though.
Man,
no. Trenches are different.
Y'all play defense. Man, listen, come man. Listen,
I need to play 35 minutes.
Hey, y'all.
Every night.
Every night.
Let me ask y'all something.
Y'all sitting over there with a jacket on.
Yes.
Have you had concussions, bro?
Yeah.
How many concussions you have?
Huh?
How many concussions?
Man, since
Eli, look.
I had one.
Look,
Eli,
Cap. No, but I broke my foot. I tore my Achilles.
You
running up against you gonna run into him, Michael?
I'm like this. 99 on you. 99. Throw it up. And I'm getting off. I'm swinging off.
We pass him.
Like, you can't do that. We got Richard Sherman on. I'm not out there. Richard Sherman.
I'm worried about him.
I'm going to get past Sherman. And then you want to catch the ball with Cam Chesler behind there? Ask Brandon about that. I know he run the show. We can't talk about that, you know. But, you know, Cam used to come through and drop that hammer. Like, he was the hardest hitting person in the NFL. Actually the best athlete besides Percy Harvin. I don't know. I feel like in the NBA, I can imagine, like, sometimes I watch the championship. I remember watching the Golden State, and I saw Steph Curry fall. And I seen Aisha crying. I'm like, he just fell. Like, you know, like an NFL, an NFL wife would be like, that's it, though. That's, you just fell. Like, you might not get none and come home, and your wife look,
say,
I saw you laying on the ground.
Say, get
like, get
up,
get up. Like,
all y'all doing is pushing each other.
Nah. The NFL's like, it's different. I remember coming in and I had to play against Atlanta Falcons and they had a dude named Michael Turner. This dude was so short and fast, but he was hard to tackle because I swear his thigh was like three of mine. And I remember the first time I hit him, I was like, oh, I don't know about this. This dude is, man. And then it's just a lot of big people that run really fast that you can.
Like half
y'all, think
it's harder
to play? Y'all think it's harder to play in the NBA than the NFL?
Hell yeah, I
can play in the NFL. Not make the NBA harder to play.
I can play in the NFL easy.
Yeah, we play 82 games.
I think it's harder
bro.
To play
82
in the NFL.
Games
easy,
over.
Man. Just wait to, man. Easy.
I think it's harder to play in the NBA.
Yes, in the NBA. Yes, every night.
We can play four games in 5 nights.
Y'all crazy.
We'll play four games.
You might like Russell Westbrook the next. You might have a whole. Good luck.
You're not the prep
and you got a guard. Like you
and you
don't
got a guard. Yeah, we got a
break.
Guard.
You
but
guard
getting hit, bro.
The thing I'm like about the guard getting hit.
Wait, you got Ben Wallace sitting big ass screens like that.
A screen?
Man, you know how fast I used to run, bro. You know how fast I used to run on that court?
Man.
That court.
I want you to. That's like him setting the screen. You guard me and let him set the screen and see what happens. Let's see what happens.
I'm not saying Ben Wallace and them weren't tough, but like.
The one thing I do give y'all though, y'all playing that snow.
Y'all not tackling
y'all
every play,
that
bro.
Snow. That's different.
Y'all
I don't
not,
know how
y'all playing
doing
outside
that.
Weather.
Like that snow. Like
nah,
I'm with the
it's
Green
way
Bay
harder playing.
I see
snow.
Green Bay.
The plays is different. Y'all got to remember different plays.
But I just think I think the NBA is tough in a way of having multiple games
for
and
sure.
having to come back and play. But like
physically,
like tackling the Marshawn Lynch and doing all those type. That's really hard to do. Like those are high level impact games. I would say that it's the NFL. Tennis and then NBA.
Ooh. Let me ask this though. Let me ask this.
He said the what?
Tennis.
Over the NBA.
Yeah.
That's all right. Sick. So let's. Damn.
Tennis is hard, bro. I had so much respect for Serena.
Bron is the biggest.
No, I'm not saying that Bron is the best, but tennis, 5 hours playing one sport.
Like, there's nobody in the NFL bigger than Bron.
Let me switch.
There's nobody in the NFL bigger than Bron.
What?
Brandon.
Y'all never seen Julius Peppers.
Brandon, what's
just greatness.
What's harder, right? So we talking about sports. How you feel about business?
Business is different.
Man, I think business is harder.
Business is harder.
Like, you know, I had to translate my life back to reality.
Like, you know, like you know, once you're out the NBA, you know what I'm saying, the private jets and all that, you know, stuff is not really like a thing when I have a business. Like, I have a brand now, so.
We didn't ride private jets, we still.
I mean, yeah, you can, but I'm just saying, like, in just like in general, like the average like player that's retired, like you're not gonna think to keep, like, you know, I have a business, I have a tough crowd, so it's like I have a brand. So a lot of my moves and what I think in life is about my brand, because I want my brand to become, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, big, and, you know, I have future plans, so. You know, 10 years from now, hopefully I'm a billionaire.
Business, you know, way
so
harder.
That's how I look at it. So.
Way harder.
Business way harder.
Way harder. Way it's harder. Not even close. Yeah. I don't think so. I think that, well, at least for us, we've been playing sports our whole life, so it comes natural, kind of, right? So we never really have to intentionally relearn a sport, because a lot of us been playing since we was kids. Whatever sport it was. But I think business, though, it's just so many moving parts, bro. It's sales, it's marketing, it's product, it's e-commerce, it's
your team.
You know, it's
management.
Yeah, your trust. Yeah.
No way.
It's trust. And then you got to build a team. And then you got to build a team. Because you're not on the, like, that logo.
I think sports is hard because it's politics. When you're doing your own thing, you ain't got to worry about if the GM will like it, if your coach go play you, if you go make it on time. Everything is on your own time.
Yeah, but in sports, somebody set it up for you. So that's hard, having to set it up for yourself.
No, I think it is true, but some ways the sports, they do, like the fact that
making you be a certain person, you know, they want you to be something you're not. Like, you got to, like, almost transform.
Yeah, like, look at the Hall of Fame. Like, you look at the NFL, like, sometimes it's like these great players, just because they had a, you know, a personality. Yeah. Now personality is accepted. Before, personality
wasn't. They used to kill me for this.
Yeah, you have personality, it's like,
they used to think I wasn't serious.
So
I'm have fun.
Sports is easier or harder? Which is.
I feel like sports is harder in some ways.
In
I feel
some
like business is harder.
No, I think sports is easy because it's teaching you discipline. Like, you work for someone, so you got to show up on time. Like, you have to do this. Like, you need to do if you. So it's teaching you discipline. If you just out there doing your own, you don't know what you're doing.
So you need somebody to tell you what to do. When you're doing your own thing, all you're doing is doing something else you love.
Like, I know, but that's why we went to school, though. That's why we went to school.
If you love fashion, that should be easy. Like, you should
know. It's not that simple, though.
It's not that simple.
Loving fashion and having a business is different, bro. It's way different. I can love fashion all I want, but now I got to get people to sell.
Yeah, you got to buy. You got to have people to believe
in
you.
It's not the same, bro. It's not
but also, but I guess the whole thing is that it's just what you call success. Yeah. Like, if you sell 20 things, is that success? Or you consider your success higher? But I do feel like being in the NFL is like, that is pretty hard. Because you got to think about this. There's a lot of people that do business.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's only 2,000 players every year that play in the NFL.
But let me say this, though, Mike. You know what happens? Is business, it keeps going.
Yes.
Y'all all had an end. There ain't no end to business.
There's an end if you bankrupt.
Yeah.
It's not an end if you bankrupt. That means tool up and do it again. That's the point of bankrupt.
And if you want to stop,
I've been bankrupt two times. I'm still in the game.
It's an end if you want to sell.
A bankrupt ain't nothing.
It's an end if you want to sell.
It's about keep going. Y'all got the rest of y'all lives to do business.
It's still not an end if you want to sell, because you're going to keep going. It's the
competitive. You're going to chill. So you set it up. You can't chill nowhere in your life?
Nah, no way. If I get a billion, come on, let's keep going. Let's go again.
I like to have time with my family. So that's what I'm going to chill with my family.
But it's like, if you constantly, like, if you drink off the nipple of capitalism and you get stuck chasing your tail like
you
a dog,
you
always gonna be in a circle. Yeah. You never gonna be fulfilled. It's gonna be like a river that's just constantly going.
Business is mental, right? So your brain, you don't stop learning.
But what I'm saying,
your body actually has a limit in what it is. So the world's greatest game is business.
But what I'm saying, though, is
that's the game that y'all are playing right now.
No, we talk about money. I feel like if you in our situation.
We're not chasing money. We're chasing greatness.
I'm trying to leave my name and my foundation. That's what us as black men, we don't do. We don't leave
talk
a foundation.
That's
the difference. Like, that's the difference.
Talk that talk.
I'm just saying, we don't leave a foundation, and then we be talking about, oh, the white man is the white. Man, well, they leaving foundations. Like, we be getting divorced so fast. I'm just saying, though. Like, we don't leave nothing.
That's
like, we
don't believe in nothing.
We don't believe in nothing.
Black people ain't basically,
all right? No, we just got to start.
We ain't got nobody looking to. We don't marry.
We don't take patience and understand,
man. We don't do nothing. We don't do business.
We're so quick to, like,
black man is just like, that's basically what we talk about on this show.
I feel like what
that
you
ain't
said,
what we talking about.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Here's what I know we do, right?
What we do?
This is what I know we do. I know we all got foundations.
Mm-hmm.
I know we all got family.
Hello.
Thank you.
I know we all got businesses.
So
what I know is what we all are is more than athletes.
Thank you, bro.
And so our life is more than all that. And that's why it's the greatest game. That's why what we're doing is bigger. That's why business is more difficult, because it keeps going.
But my thing with the
y'all are bigger than athletes.
But my,
yeah.
Y'all are black. Y'all are black men. Y'all are kings. We bigger than that.
My whole thing with the is that, like, I get what you're saying though. Like, that makes sense what you're saying. And if you're chasing that, that's fine. But like, if you make it something, and you are creative, it's about just having that creativity in the world. It ain't so much about you chasing the dollar, because if you always chasing the dollar, how would you ever be fulfilled? Like, that means that your cup need to be filled by somebody else.
Business is not about just chasing the dollar.
That's what y'all business saying, though.
No, that's not what I said.
No, no.
I said business is about the evolution of growth.
Yeah, but
because,
he said,
you define what business is, and you define what success is. So that doesn't mean it's not external based. And that's why, because the game, I can tell you if you win or lose. I can't tell you if you win or lose in your business, because maybe it's about you just expressing your creativity.
But for me, I feel like I'm just
you in control now.
No, for me, I just feel like if you somebody and you put your feelings or everything that you have on how other people perceive you, then you never ever gonna reach that. Because at the end of the day, as long as my kids love me and my wife, that's all that really matters. Because that's at the end of the day, that's how I'm gonna be judged. Because if I go into the world and everything they ever talk about, like we talked about Kobe, and the first thing they say is, "Oh, Michael won a Super Bowl. He did this." I want somebody to say that man was a great father. He was at the wedding. He was holding the baby. Like, that's to me, that's the goal of it all. And I feel like sometimes in business, that's the greatest foundation. That's the legacy. It's not how the world perceives your legacy. Muhammad Ali, in his book, he talks about like, you know, when he won the Olympic gold medal, he came back and he couldn't eat at the restaurant. You know what the first thing he did? He took that medal off and threw it in the river. Why? Because he realized that thing that he was chasing wasn't. He said the biggest issue that he had in his life is that he realized he didn't spend the most time with his family. I feel like that's the biggest legacy we can leave.
When you ask athletes what's harder, I think for sure business, right? I think that question is pertaining to us as athletes. 100%. Obviously, when you talk about the general public, it's different, right? That's why so many athletes struggle after the sport, because it's hard to get into business, right? But that's why they would much rather keep playing what they playing, because it's easy. It comes
you can't leave your family.
I'm not saying this shit
easy. You can't leave your family to
get it. It's not easy to play in the NFL.
It's not.
You can't leave your family to game.
That's not easy.
The transition was harder to me, bro.
No, I'm saying, you know the level of...
But you still got... The question is, like, what's harder to you, bro?
No, I get what you said, but I'm saying that the legacy, the commitment to being playing in the NFL or some league for extended amount of time,
it's
extremely difficult to play at a high level every single day and be consistently. Because how we look at the NFL, like we used to always talk about in the D-line room, is like you always playing for the next year. Like the only reason you're in the NFL now is because you played good last year.
The only way
you're going to be in the NFL next year if you play good this year.
Do you think that business is more competitive than the NFL?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Business? Man, what?
There's millions in businesses, right?
What? Like what? Trying to start a brand? Like trying to get people to what? Like, that's tough. That means
you gotta think about
like,
that.
Like, when I started Tough Crowd, that means I had to, like, I started Tough Crowd because I knew everybody
you
was taking selfies,
against,
right?
You competing against right. 50,000 clothing lines,
man,
bro.
Everything.
Right? It was easy to me because I knew it was an easy transition, because that's what I am. If I know my style and people like my style, transitioning into
sport,
that's easy. No, but I sell out every time
that's
I drop.
That's the top. That's what I'm talking about. That's the cap. That's what we're trying to talk about.
I'm not listening to nobody who's not successful or getting money.
Yeah, but what is success, though? That's what
I mean, success is changing the world. You got to get money.
My whole point is that I get what you're saying. Like, being a billionaire, that's something great that we should all strive to. But if you chasing that billionaire, and you said if you chasing so much money, how are you gonna protect the foundation of your family? If you doing this and you're doing so much that you can't, this nest egg, this thing that's true rooted, that what you're truly rooted in, how are you going to protect that? It's like, I feel like being a billionaire, that could be cool. But also, like, I've been to places in other countries where I was with young girls who were, you know, these refugee camps. And the first thing they said, what they feel was a change maker, was like, I was like, what do you want to be in the world? They didn't say, I want to be a billionaire. They said, I want to be a paramedic so I can get people from the village to the hospital so they don't die. That's a change maker. So change maker doesn't technically mean you have to be making money. It just means that you need to be able to add to the world. I tell my daughter that every day. I said, I don't care if you're a billionaire or you're a millionaire. All I want you to do is to add to the world and don't subtract from it. And I feel sometimes when we chase it so much of the greed and the Instagram and all these different things, we really subtract it from ourselves. It's like, how are we really adding to the world if money's the only thing? Like, making money is great, but I'm saying making money shouldn't be the only thing that drives you.
So let's say this, right? I Am Athlete season 3. So I want to say to LA Cats, we doing a damn thing, man. So I think we done shifted the whole game.
No, just to be clear, I'm not from LA. I'm from Louisiana, Houston, Texas, both Louisiana, Houston, Texas. So I'm Southern. This is really a Southern person with West Coast people. So that's all I want to say.
You see the swag. You see the scully. You see the scully. We good.
I'm from the South. Like,
I Am Athlete season 3. We get it. Let's get it.
I like city of angels. Try to chain us down, but society can't tame us. Granny told me gotta be safe, but we stay dangerous. You also bought a book and we already burnt the pages. Who you really gonna call when it all get crazy? Who you throwing the ball for that new Mercedes? How you gonna risk it all and do a 180?
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently. At capella.edu.